Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to tune into the broadcast today. I've been sharing from the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, on the subject, Intercessors Wanted. And verse 1 reads, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." This is an indication why prayer is sometimes unanswered, because of the iniquities of God's people. And John reminds us, if anyone says that they're without sin, he's a liar, because none of us are perfect, and we are working toward perfection. Our heart can be perfect toward the Lord, in that we desire to please Him at all times. We have no other gods before Him, and yet our human nature, the carnal nature in our flesh, is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus said. He spoke those words to his disciples who, when it came down to it, when he really needed them to pray, what did they do? They fell asleep when he suffered and agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we sometimes, I think, are a little, maybe perhaps too severe with the disciples or with the people of Israel when we look at their faults, and yet we can be guilty of the very same things, of lukewarmness, of being asleep when God wants to use us. And I speak of that spiritually. Of course, God wants us to have to take care of our bodies with proper food and rest, but He wants us to have a burden for the things that burden His heart, which is the saving of souls. And if you are aware of anything going on in current events in this nation, around the world, we're certainly living in the very end of times. So let me now read again verse 20 of Isaiah 59, which says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." He's talking about His people here, and all of us need to ask forgiveness for our sins. We need to walk in a spirit daily of humility and repentance, desiring that Jesus may increase in our lives and we might decrease, from self-love, from self-preoccupation, from self-concern. That's perhaps one of our greatest failings, isn't it? Where it's all about me. And beloved, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And if we will have divine priorities, if we will place Him first, if we will be burdened with things that affect His heart and bring sorrow to Him, then, beloved, it will truly be joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a peace, a joy, and a satisfaction that only God can give to those who are fully abandoned and surrendered to Him. Now, in verse 20, that word redeemer means kinsman redeemer. That is, one who is related by blood to those he redeems, indicating the necessity for the incarnation. That name, kinsman redeemer, makes us think of the book of Ruth, where Boaz was related and could redeem the heritage of Naomi through Ruth having children. And so he was, and he's a representative of type of Christ. Hebrews the second chapter, verses 14 and 16 declares, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also," referring to Jesus, "himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them," beloved, that's you and I, "who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And then verse 29 of Isaiah 59 says, verse 21, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth, thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." Praise God. So he is speaking that he will make his covenant. He speaks in that 21st verse of an outpouring of his spirit and a covenant that shall not end. God will be writing his laws inwardly on the hearts of his people. Remember, the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis the 17th chapter, verse 4, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And through the faith of Abraham, Jew and Gentile are united. Jeremiah 31 and 31 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Praise God. And then in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse 10, the word of the Lord says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So God is referring to an everlasting covenant in which he shall raise up his people that will know him, and he will write their laws in their hearts. Now, verse 16, and that's really where we want to focus. "He," the Lord, "saw there was no man, wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." God, this is the most perhaps outstanding verse of that entire chapter. God wondered that there was no intercessor. And why did he wonder? Well, I would like to share with you three reasons. First of all, there was such a great need. And secondly, God has given great encouragement to intercessors. And also, thirdly, because of the possibilities within the reach of an intercessor. And beloved, we're going to be looking a little more closely at this, but God could not understand. He wondered why no one had a burden, why no one was concerned to pray, to weep between the porch and the altar. There was, first of all, let's look at that, such a great need. The iniquities of the people had separated them from God. Isn't that what I just shared in 59 and 2 of Isaiah? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." They were waiting for light, they wanted blessings, yet they were walking in darkness. Verse 9 says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness." And so they groped like the blind, they stumbled at noonday. Verse 10 says, "We grope for the wall like the blind, we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." That's a pretty sorrowful picture of the people of God. It says in the word, their sins testified against them. Verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. What a indictment. And truth had fallen in the street. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. We look at the news, our public officials who are caught in outright lies, and that doesn't seem, you know, decades ago, that would have ended a political career. Today, it's just winked at. Not a big deal. Not a problem. In all this situation, the condition of God's people, the state of Israel, there was no one who sufficiently felt the sorrow and sin of the whole situation to give themselves to intercessory prayer unto God. And verse 16, which I shared, and he, the Lord, saw there was no man, wondered there was no intercessor, that speaks to the self-righteous and non-involvement of many in today's church world. Beloved, we're just concerned about prospering, about blessing, about walking in God's favor, and it's like our eyes are closed to the cries of those who are desperate, those who are undone and lost in sin, who don't know the way of truth. Beloved, every one of us, everyone who's hearing my voice, we have our own responsibility to pray that God would move and save souls. That's what Paul said to Timothy, that pray that all men there would be saved, that we pray that God would move by conviction and draw all men to Him because He was lifted up on the cross. My heart's cry, beloved, is that we can see a revival of prayer in our churches, in our nation. You know, after 9/11, the churches were filled, but it didn't take long until everyone went back to living life as usual. Beloved, I just pray the Spirit of God would stir your heart, stir my heart, that we can't intercede, that we will be those who will be found faithful to pray with all that we can and with all that was within us, and then leave the results to God and believe Him for great things. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. Tomorrow, with the Lord's help, we'll bring this message to a conclusion. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,